As more and more attention is focused on police shootings, more police departments are putting body cams on their officers. The idea is to improve relations and trust between police and the community. But that body cam video raises sticky questions about balancing transparency and respecting privacy. Here in Michigan, the American Civil Liberties Union has been asked to analyze the privacy issues and then develop a model bill to help address the questions. Rod Mons is with the Michigan ACLU. It's good to have you on Stateside, Rod.
Thank you for having me.
Do we know, Rod, how many law enforcement agencies in Michigan are using body cams now?
We don't. It's really hard to get a handle on. I mean, that's not just unique to Michigan. That seems to be the case nationwide. But we do know that the number has expanded considerably over the last several years as a result of some, you know, very high-profile incidents of police-civilian interaction, including some that have been fatal. And this is one of the topics that I've increasingly been following because, as you know, technology usually outpaces policy, right? And as a result of that, it raises some grave concerns, and in this case, both on the part of law enforcement and on the part of the civilian sector.
All right, let's spell them out. First of all, what's the ACLU's overall position on police officers equipped with body cams?
I think it's fair to say we consider it to be a win-win, both from the perspective of law enforcement and private citizens, because it provides that level of accountability and monitoring when it comes to police-civilian interactions. And on the police's end, it provides them an opportunity to collect information on those interactions in cases where they may be alleged to have engaged in misconduct and that not been the case.
So as you say, win-win, but questions are raised. Can you spell those out for us?
Well, there is certainly promise, but it has to be considered in context. The cameras are a great device, but without appropriate policy and practice, there is the specter of potential misuse and or abuse. So you want policies that clearly indicate when officers should be using cameras, how data that is collected is stored, what officers should be doing to make sure that folks that they are engaged in encounters with understand that they are being recorded, particularly when it comes to an officer entering a private home, as opposed to, you know, being involved in a police chase, right?
Right.
That's a no-brainer. But police body-worn cameras are only part of the equation when it comes to monitoring potential police misconduct when engaged with civilians, because there are many other things to consider with regard to officer performance on the job, related to training, related to implicit bias, cultural competency, training in the sense of knowing when to de-escalate a situation. So we think that they are an important component, but they are one component.
And as you say, the context is important, so the policy and practices component is very, very key. Who's setting that right now?
Right now, there are a few pieces of legislation that have been introduced in Lansing that would provide some oversight with regard to the use and the data collection.
And I know House Bill 4234 is the only one that's gotten a committee hearing at that point, and this is one that would exempt police audio or video recording taken in private places from the Freedom of Information Act. So whom is that bill designed to protect, do you think?
Like most pieces of legislation related to criminal justice, you know, in many cases, those that move are those that are supported in large part by law enforcement. And that's not a bad thing necessarily, because with regard to this type of legislation, you know, there are always going to be negotiations and opportunity to create a bill that would serve both law enforcement and citizens. Because I think for the most part, law enforcement is cognizant of the fact that the use of this technology has to be done responsibly, and everybody wins when that's the case.
I know the ACLU has designed some model policy after really studying and looking at all angles of the body-worn cameras, and it recommends keeping body cam video for 6 months. Why 6 months, Rod?
Many who support the use of this technology want to capture everything and keep everything, even, you know, that footage that has no material value or evidentiary value. And that is one of those issues that we have a problem with. As you know, we have a problem with mass surveillance. And, you know, in 2012, in fact, we released a report called Eyes in the Skies on surveillance of communities in the Lansing area. We are sensitive to the potential for abuse when it comes to technology that's capturing information on private citizens. So we think, you know, the responsible thing to do is look at how you're retaining information and for how long on who. We don't have a problem with capturing video and reviewing that video after, you know, a shift is concluded, deleting the video that has no value, and retaining any video of criminal activity for as long as it is needed as evidence. But other than that, you know, we're not in support of maintaining data for undetermined periods of time.
And there has been some pushback from police agencies who say, hey, we're not in the data storing business. It's expensive. It's not the cameras, it's the storing the data that can be very expensive and time consuming. So how do we balance that out with that need, as you say, to perhaps have video available if criminal proceedings should come up or there could be a civilian complaint, with the department saying that's not what we do?
It speaks to the point that we're trying to make. If you are maintaining less data, if you are determined to maintain only that data that could be potential evidence, then you're going to have a lower cost of data storage. One of the interesting things that has developed as the use of this technology has expanded is the industry now of body-worn cameras. You know, on the lower end, those devices can cost, you know, around $200, with about $55 a month for data storage per officer. So, you know, for a department of about 100 cameras, that could be nearly $90,000 in startup costs. We have partnered with an organization called the Police Executive Research Forum on some research into this issue. And PERF estimates, you know, cost of cameras could be $800 or more per camera, with storage at, you know, about $750 per officer annually. So if you are not really being deliberate about only maintaining data that's potential evidence, then you're not going to be deploying your financial resources effectively. Mm. The other thing is that, you know, given the cost of these cameras as use has expanded, you know, one thing we've seen is that some departments are handing down their cameras to other departments. In many cases, it's, you know, the larger departments with more cameras that are turning to secondhand equipment in an effort to get them out into the streets and do so in a cost-effective manner. And as a result, you're seeing that, you know, some of the urban departments where this kind of technology is intended to, from the public's point of view, provide some transparency when it comes to officers, civilian encounters, but those communities that are being policed more heavily and where these cameras are being used more frequently are getting the equipment that doesn't work as well as, you know, where they aren't needed the most.
So there's an issue.
There's an issue.
Let's also get into the idea of protecting privacy and also transparency. What's the ACLU's position on whether the body cam video should be subject to the Freedom of Information Act?
Currently, Michigan law provides few restrictions on who can access video gathered by body cameras, as well as how long and under what circumstances video must be retained. And we think that when it comes to publicly available information, that shouldn't be limited. We think that folks have the right to view evidence or potential evidence collected on video through the use of body-worn cameras, and that's something we support. The issue is complicated with regard to officers, you know, going to private residences. Sometimes, you know, during the course of an investigation where they're following up, you know, if something happens in the neighborhood and they're knocking doors to see what people saw,
right,
you know, that should be a case where police are clearly communicating to residents that they are being, you know, videotaped, and if, you know, there's an issue and there's clearly no potential evidentiary value in that video, then that's the case where it should be turned off. But I think it's important that, as, you know, we're constructing policy, that those instances where cameras should be used and where they shouldn't be used are clearly communicated district-wide, because that is a bit of an issue as well. We don't want to see departments giving officers the option of randomly turning on and off cameras, right, whenever they want to.
Sure. We don't want a patchwork quilt.
Right.
Quilt
so, So citizens have that opportunity as departments are considering, you know, using these for the first time or expanding use of these to make known, you know, to their police officials that they have concerns about, you know, what's in those policies, and they demand that those policies be responsible.
Rod Monts is with the Michigan ACLU. Rod, thank you so much for talking with us today on Stateside.
Thank you for having me.